Oh, the gospel will overcome in a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
Got a lot to talk about on The Dean's List today, Christy.
All right, I'm excited.
I mean a lot.
Oh, okay, so we better get moving.
Look, first thing, we got this Christian from North Korea. He's a defector, and now he's on the radio, and he's broadcasting the gospel.
Oh, wow.
Back into North Korea.
Awesome.
You know what Kirk Cousins would say about that?
No, I don't.
You like that?
Oh, yeah, Kirk Cousins.
You keep forgetting.
Yeah, sorry.
How can you forget?
I just forget his name. I'm not really into football.
You think I'm ready for football or something? It's been so long.
I don't even know when football season is.
Are you kidding me?
Isn't it like the fall or something?
Yeah, starts in the fall.
Okay.
Yeah, college football, NFL. Right now I'm watching NBA, though. That's pretty good. Can't get into the baseball. It's putting me to sleep these days. Used to watch it. We've talked about that.
It's America's favorite pastime, though.
Yeah, well, not when the Braves are doing like they're doing. Anyway, not here to talk about all that. What were we talking about? Why did I start talking about... I was talking about this guy from North Korea.
I have no idea.
Kirk Cousins. You like that.
You're right.
Yeah, I like this. Now, let me just say something else. You know what else we're going to talk about? We're going to tie it together.
Are we going to talk about that gorilla?
No.
Oh, thank goodness.
Well, I mean, I can say something about it if you want me to.
No, let's not.
Yeah. Who cares if you shoot a gorilla? I don't. Anyway, that's my commentary.
I care a little bit.
Obviously, you know, we're not going to be cruel to animals. God says take care of your animals. I was, hyperbolating there.
Got it.
Okay. Is that a verb, hyperbolating?
Well, if it's not, it is now.
It is now. Obviously, I care about the gorilla. But all this debate of, oh, should we shoot the gorilla or save the boy? That's our culture.
Yeah.
Of course we're going to save the boy. Take dominion. Over the animals, God says. Kill and eat, God says. I'm going to have me some gorilla burgers tonight. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
Don't know if they'd be good, but... I heard someone... be a good steward.
I heard someone say on Facebook something like, there were 60-something people killed, shot in Chicago, 9,000 babies aborted, and a bunch of people died overseas in the last 5 days. And we're all talking about a gorilla.
Mm-hmm. I like that commentary.
I have to remember who said that. It was Ed somebody. He's for Lifeway. He writes for Lifeway. I forget his name.
Oh, Ed Stetzer?
Yeah, that's him.
Okay.
He said that.
That's good. I like that. You like that.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. We weren't going to talk about the gorilla.
Let me, one more thing, though. What if some madman were dragging that kid around and the kid was about to drown or hit his head on the concrete? When the police were there, you think they'd shoot the madman?
Yeah.
You think anybody'd be crying over that?
I don't know.
No, I mean,
I don't know.
I'm going to say I might be crying. I'd be crying over the loss of life, but at the same time, we wouldn't have the outrage, the petition. We're crying over gorilla.
Right.
Gorilla figure.
That was not a good pun.
Sorry.
All right, let's
move
on.
It's the best I can do.
So what's after...
With my feeble brain.
The guy in Korea.
Oh, yeah. Going to talk a little, and we're going to tie it together. We're going to talk a little bit about these cultural elites running Facebook.
Okay.
And these cultural elites running Google.
Okay.
And I'm going to tie it to the North Korea issue somehow. And then we're going to tie it to the role of government. We're going to tie it to free speech.
We always tie it to the role of government.
That's right. Going to tie it to something that Mary and I were talking about yesterday. We didn't get finished. We got finished, but... Want to elab a little bit.
Okay.
How do you like, you don't like that abbreviation?
No, I don't like
that. You guys do the
abbreviation,
but I don't.
It's only, you got to know which abbreviations are appropriate.
Okay. Hashtag idiot, is that?
I don't know. Okay. Sure.
I'm trying.
Hashtag dad jokes.
Everybody hates dad jokes.
But they laugh at them anyways.
Yeah, there's a little bit of sympathy there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know how much I want to say about this guy from North Korea other than to say for an hour each day, I don't know how to pronounce his name. I mean this, you know, respectfully. I don't want to butcher it, but Kim Chung-song, a defector from North Korea. He's a Christian missionary. He's in Seoul, just a small studio. 1 a.m., his show, it's called Hello from Seoul, the Republic of Korea. He sends a mix of gospel music, news into North Korea, defying the isolated state's efforts to keep its people in the dark about the world, religion, and the truth about its leaders. Now here's what he says. Brothers and sisters in the North, I hope this time can be a moment of prayer for a miracle that every party member of North Korea at the party Congress can meet God, not take a further step into the cult of personality. He's referring to the meeting of the North's ruling Workers' Party this month, where Kim Jong-un was unanimously elevated to party chairman.
Okay.
Have you seen this guy, Kim Jong-un?
No, I haven't.
Really?
Really.
That was just a segue. I thought everybody's seen him.
I don't really. No, I haven't.
Yeah, he laughs all the time. He acts like he's like a happy boy.
Oh, I guess I've seen
him.
But
he's a brutal dictator.
I have seen him. Yes, I have.
Yeah, evil. Anyway, this this radio defecting radio broadcaster says, I'm desperately praying that North Korea's Kim Jong-un and all administrators under him kneel down in front of God. That's what he's praying for, obviously. And obviously he wants them to repent of their sins.
Mm-hmm.
He wants them to come to know Christ. He wants them, here's his words, leave the path of tormenting their people. All right, now, here's the point. This guy, I'm just going to call him the Christian missionary because I can't remember his name. I'm not being disrespectful.
Okay.
It's Kim Chung-song, I think is what it's, I think that's how you pronounce it. Anyway, you know, if he stays in North Korea, he says what he's saying, guess what happens to him?
He gets killed, probably. Is that right?
Yeah. Kim Jong-un decides to kill him.
Yeah.
That's how it works in a place like North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
There's no freedom of speech. There's no freedom of religion as we know it. There's no freedom, and, you know, you get on the wrong side of the government, then they're going to kill you. And it's been that way in most countries throughout the history of the world. We mm-hmm. understand that. All right, now, I'm going to come back to that.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to move quickly to Facebook, Twitter, Google, Microsoft. They've unveiled a code of conduct. And basically, they're pledging to tackle online hate speech in less than 24 hours as part of a joint commitment with the European Union to combat the use of social media by terrorists.
Okay.
Now, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Because you got some terrorists out there.
Well,
they use social media. They foment their hate speech.
Okay.
Right? They foment hatred and, you know, they communicate.
I feel like it could turn bad really quickly, though.
Yeah. So here's the deal. I'm just reading from Bloomberg here. Beyond national laws that criminalize hate speech, see, we've already got some laws in place. So beyond that, I'm quoting, there is a need to ensure such activity by internet users is expeditiously reviewed by online intermediaries and social media platforms upon receipt of a valid notification in an appropriate time frame. And these are companies that we're referring to, Twitter, Facebook, etc., and the European Commission both said this in a joint statement on Tuesday. We remain committed to letting the tweets flow, said Twitter's head of public policy for Europe, Karen White. However, There is a clear distinction between freedom of expression and conduct that incites violence and hate.
What about free speech?
Hate speech is not free speech. That's what they're saying.
Right.
Really?
Right? No, right. No? I mean, No, that is what they're saying.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. You don't agree?
No.
Good. Yeah, I don't agree either. See, here's part of the issue. Who decides what's free speech and what's hate speech? And I want everybody to keep listening. I'm not just ranting. And we're trying to think Christianly here, not just, you know, I'm not just some libertarian out here popping off. We're going to make some points. So who decides the difference between free speech and hate speech?
Well, obviously, the people who are on this intermediary position.
That's right. That's right. You're going to make your post, and then you got some people who are really, 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 really smart. And they're really benevolent and kind and loving people, too.
Mm-hmm.
They know better than the rest of us. They're the arbiter of all truth. They're the arbiter of all that's good and holy and pure. I mean, that's how that's what they're holding themselves out to be.
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you who decides. Twitter decides. Google decides. Facebook decides. Kim Jong-un decides. Wait a minute. Did I just put all those folk in the same category?
You did.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't put, you know, Twitter and Facebook and Google, whoever the folk, was it Zuckerberg? Or is it the other guy?
Zuckerberg is the founder of Facebook, but I don't know that he's really that involved anymore.
Forgive me for being a little out of touch with that, because I hear about him in the news quite often, but I don't want to say more than I should.
I thought he moved away or something.
Yeah, but I think he's Mr. Liberal. I don't know. This is why I don't want to call names. But I did, so I'm gonna check that, okay? Call the research assistant.
I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people that work for Facebook now, so...
Well, there are, but just get on the horn, call our research assistants and get that information to me, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go find out. So I'm going to hold tight for the moment.
All I'm saying is it's not Zuckerberg who's got the reels of Facebook, I don't think.
Who's got the what?
The reins of Facebook.
I think he does.
You think so?
I think the other guy let go. That's what I'm saying. We got to call down. Call downstairs.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, get the girls on it right now. There's some guys down there, too. Don't want to be sexist about who our, you know, research assistants are.
It's really just me and Google.
Call Google. We're talking about Google. All right, now listen. I'm not going to say that Google and Zuckerberg and Facebook and whoever we're talking about are in the same boat at the moment in terms of, you know, Kim Jong-un, you know, in terms of killing people. They're not going to do that. But in terms of controlling speech, they're in the same boat. And, of course, they're going to be working closely with who? The European Union. They're going to be working closely with who? United States government.
I got the answer.
We got the elites. We got the power elites. We got the oligarchy in charge. You got the answer?
The CEO is Mike Zuckerberg.
Excuse me, that's what I thought.
The COO.
The coup.
Is Sheryl Sandberg.
They need a coup.
And the CFO is Mike Ebersman.
Yeah, we need to overthrow Zuckerberg, Sandberg, and Ebersman. Is it Sandberg?
Yeah, Sandberg.
She related to Carl?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I thought Zuckerberg. I thought I smelled him. I don't mean that
ugly. You're being rude.
I know. Forgive me. Now, let's get serious because I don't want folk just to turn us off. I mean, we've already asked the question, who decides? Okay. So when I ask that question, it's a rhetorical question. You got people who are setting themselves up as the, you know, watchers, the gatekeepers of all that's good and, you know, and true and pure in society. What if we disagree? Now, immediately the Christians are going to say, well, God decides. Now, that's true. God is the one who decides what's right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I want Christians running the show in a dictatorial sense, though, in terms of deciding what's free speech, what's hate speech.
Right.
See, for 240 years, we've basically said free speech means offensive speech is protected. But all of a sudden, we live in an upside-down climate. We're no longer controlled by a Christian worldview. And somebody says, well, wait a minute, hate speech and being ugly, that's not Christian. Well, no, of course not. But allowing people the freedom to say what they want without killing them or without putting them in jail or without shutting them down, that goes back to the fact that every single human being is created in the image of God. Every single human being has essential dignity. Every single human being has a liberty of conscience before God. And every single human being has an unalienable right to life, to liberty, which means he can say what he wants.
Including Kim Jong-un.
And, well, he has the right to say what he wants.
Right.
But he doesn't have the right to kill people.
He has essential. He does have essential dignity.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
So we don't have the right to kill him.
No, we don't.
Except unless he's killing people.
Unless it's in self-defense or defense of others. That's true.
Is he killing people?
I don't know what he's doing. I haven't, hadn't been to North Korea lately.
Yeah.
I have been to Russia, been to the Soviet Union, which, of course, no longer exists. It's Russia now. But I've been in Red Square. Preached the gospel in Red Square. Did you know that? Right in front of the Kremlin.
I did know that.
Yeah. Awesome. Now, here's what I'm getting at. Yesterday, here we're going to tie it in, we talked about legislating morality. Talked about a piece by Selwyn Duke. And he's saying we should be legislating morality through the government. And the argument, of course, is that every single law is rooted in someone's moral code. And so the only way to solve this issue is to just admit that and say, okay, and he didn't come out and say this, but here's the implication. I've heard other Christians say it. God is God. As long as majority rule is the way it works, well, we're going to impose our morality because we don't like everybody else's morality.
Mm-hmm.
And so I come along and I say, well, no. You don't want to legislate morality. And they say, well, there you are. Your argument's not credible. You don't know what you're talking about because every single law is rooted in some sort of moral code. All right, I understand that. That's true. But let me go back and say, here's where Christians mess up. They fail to make a distinction, and I'm going to move on with this, so if you heard the broadcast yesterday, don't go to sleep here. But they fail to make a distinction between what is a moral issue only and what is a moral issue as well as a civil issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so that raises the question, okay, well, how do you know? And Mary asked this question yesterday, not because she didn't know, because she was trying to advance the conversation.
Yeah.
But how do you know what moral issue becomes a civil issue and what moral issue doesn't? And so, do you know?
Something.
I mean, I know you know, but can you think on the fly?
It's a civil issue if it violate someone else's freedom.
Ah, you got it. You got it.
Now, yeah, we've talked about this before.
So let's put it in another way. It depends. You got to answer the question, what is the role of government? See, government, doesn't exist to educate us. It doesn't exist to tell us what's right and wrong. It doesn't exist to, tell us what's hate speech and what's free speech. The government simply exists to protect my right to free speech.
Right.
It exists to protect my right to life.
Mm-hmm.
It exists to protect my right to liberty. Now, here's what Christians don't get, because they say, well, you're all for the transgender thing. And, hey, how can you say what Kim Jong-un is doing is wrong? Because, I thought that's where you were going a minute ago, but obviously you weren't. That's what someone might say. Well, it doesn't, Zuckerberg have the right to do what he wants with Facebook. Now, Zuckerberg does have the right to do what he wants with Facebook. He owns it.
Yeah.
He's free to regulate all the speech he wants to on Facebook. But what I'm talking about is this is part and parcel of where our culture is going.
Mm-hmm.
No longer do we have free speech. We're going to punish people for hate speech. We're going to punish people before they ever commit a crime. We're going to punish people for what they think, what they believe. We got the Minority Report going here. You understand what I'm talking about? It's a movie,
yeah,
Tom Cruise, yeah. So the bottom line is the role of government says, okay, everybody's got a right to life. That's why the government can come along and turn a moral issue like thou shalt not murder into a law.
Mm-hmm.
Because murder violates the right to life that other people have. But the government can't come along and say, well, you can't say mean things. Because no one has a right, you know, to not necessarily hear mean things. They can walk away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the government can't come along and say, you got to wear a head covering. You can't engage in premarital sex. I mean, we would agree that's immoral, but we don't agree in the government saying you can't do it. Because why? Because people have a right to do what they want as long as they're not violating someone else's rights. That's the issue. Mm-hmm. It's so simple.
Right.
I heard this Christian commentator talking a couple of days ago. And he was taking a conservative line. I'm conservative, but he was taking a non-libertarian line. Let me put it that way. Which is arbitrary, by the way. Inconsistent. It's also rooted in an evolutionary worldview. In other words, if we're going to say, okay, well, we're going to enforce our code of ethics or our morality through the government and majority rule, what we're saying is might makes right. You've made this point before. That's an evolutionary worldview.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's got the power. Anyway, he was taking a non-libertarian line, and this other libertarian brother was trying to explain some things to him, and they kind of got bogged down, and you know, this one fellow was saying, you know, the transgender issue, you know, ought to be left up to, you know, the states, and you know, we could debate that, but slavery, you know, well, the Christian conservative, I'm really getting off track, forgive me, but the Christian conservative was saying, you know, if we went down your road of thinking, you know, we could have slavery in, you know, some states and not slavery in other states. Well, the bottom line is, if you believe the role of government is to protect rights, and we've got a federal government, a national government, then everybody who's an American has a right to liberty. Therefore, slavery is going to be illegal throughout the land. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's no libertarian that believes in slavery.
Right.
There's no Christian that believes in chattel slavery. I'm making a distinction between chattel slavery and, say, indentured servitude.
Okay.
I'm just saying. So you can't murder. You can't steal. You can't man steal. Let's see. People say, well, that's in the Bible. Well, that's right, it's in the Bible. There's a lot of other things that are in the Bible, too, that we don't legislate. But why do we legislate against man stealing? In other words, going and grabbing someone and enslaving them. Because the role of government is to protect people's freedom, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Now, here's the thing. Somebody's going to come back and say, well, you're still coming. I don't necessarily agree with you, but you say you're coming from a Christian worldview with all this, and this is how you want government to operate, so you're still operating under your moral code. All right, well, that's true, because but hear me out. There is no such thing as philosophical neutrality.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's coming from a worldview. I grant you that. And so, yeah, I'm going to come from a biblical worldview. But here's the question for you Christians. What's the biblical role of government? Is it to legislate Christianity and our moral code and our ethical code? No. We persuade people through the gospel. And then we leave people to their freedom because these are unalienable God-given rights. If they're God-given rights, then even God doesn't want us to violate them
mm-hmm.
by legislation. And so the question is, again, the role of government in terms of protecting our rights, that's a biblical construct. But guess what? It's the only construct. It's the only worldview. It's the only position. It's the only philosophy of government, of public policy, that does what? That doesn't violate anyone.
Hmm.
Unless you want to say, well, you're violating the guy that wants to murder, and you won't let him murder. Well, if you want to say that, that's fine, but then you don't have a civil society. So what we're talking about is the proper role of government in civil society. The conservative vision violates many, many rights.
Right.
The democratic, liberal, progressive vision violates many, many rights. Bernie Sanders violates rights. Hillary Clinton violates rights. Ted Cruz violates rights. Donald Trump violates rights. They all do. There's only one position that doesn't violate the rights of individuals, and that is the Christian position, which is Christian libertarianism.
It doesn't even have to be libertarianism as a philosophy. It's just that...
No. I use that term.
You use the Bible to find your principles, and it just so happens that that lines up with Christian libertarianism.
That's right. And doesn't it make sense that if you look at the Bible and you implement its principles, doesn't it make sense that it would be the only position in all the world, in all history, that would not violate others?
Absolutely.
It preserves people's freedom. It doesn't become a nanny state. It doesn't legislate arbitrarily. Doesn't make distinctions between free speech and hate speech. Doesn't even provide a moral code.
So where do you get the moral code from?
It just says, excuse me, just says we're going to protect what God's given you.
Which is your unalienable rights.
That's right. Now, what do you mean by where'd you get the moral code we're talking about? We, as Christians, we do have a moral code, and we are to live by it, and that's what church discipline is all about. But the government doesn't...
You don't think... I mean, everyone has... Don't you think everyone has a moral code?
Because oh, sure.
If you violate the moral code, then you're condemned.
Yeah.
By the God of the universe.
Well, yeah, if you're talking about that. Yeah, see, now, yesterday we were talking about how, you know, the government is going to force Christian bakers to bake for same-sex couples, you know, the wedding cake.
Mm-hmm.
That they're imposing their moral standard, and we don't like that. They say it's wrong not to, you know, serve those folks, so you got to do it. Well, what you're doing is violating the rights of the Christian couple. But when you let the Christian couple make their own decision, everybody cries discrimination. Yeah, so? There's some kinds of discrimination we don't believe in, but there's some kinds that we do. I'm not violating the rights of that same-sex couple by not baking them a cake. They have the freedom to get the cake somewhere else.
Right. That's the thing.
That's the beauty of the liberty principle. Let's just call it that instead of libertarianism.
Okay, I like that.
That's the beauty of the liberty principle that you see in civic life, in the scriptures. It's the liberty principle. We got to get this right because the church is asleep. They're ignorant. They're making shallow arguments. They're not discipling individuals or nations. And we got to do all of that, right?
Right.
Right.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archive broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.